Lost for long gone.
I'm coming home.
I'm coming home.
Tell the world that I'm coming home.
Yeah.
Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday.
Ain't no
I know
pain.
My kingdom awaits, and it's forgiven my mistakes.
Thank
I'm
you.
Coming home.
I'm coming home.
Coming home.
Welcome all once again to Nerds on the Rocks, episode 129. Actually, not once again. This is a once-in-a-lifetime podcast, an end of an era, as they say.
Are we having a reboot again? Am I not going to be left in the multiverse?
We are talking about, we're
going to talk about,
WrestleMania 29, where we get the great honor of having something once-in-a-lifetime twice in one lifetime.
Yeah.
I mean, how often does that happen? Oh, I'm so excited for that. But joining us this week, our FCW recruits, we have Wesley.
I'm an FCW recruit now? Wait a second. Well, what? So wait a minute. Are we actually now in Full Sail University? So,
yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah, we're in Full Sail University now. That's where we're recording at. Yeah, yeah, totally.
But in TNA, yep. Either way. We have Ashy.
I would like to welcome everyone to Nerds on the Rocks podcast. If you don't know who I am Ashley. I am the acting general manager of Nerds on the Rocks.
Oh, boy.
And the head of talent relations.
Oh, God.
And I welcome you to the first ever people-powered episode of Nerds on the Rocks.
See, it's not as powerful without watching you do this. I'm hearing your voice, and to me it's just sounding like you're being really gruff and pregnant at the same time.
Well, that's the point. She tried to mimic John Neuronitis, who made his return to SmackDown, the show nobody watches.
Oh, I was so happy.
Oh, man.
We have Nicholas.
I'm going to take this time to debut my new character, who's going to be my wrestling character. His name is Stark, and he just constantly tells everyone that winter is coming.
Wait, isn't that
his finishing move is called?
Oh my God, your glacier!
It's called the decapitation.
Yeah. Oh, holy crap! Your glacier evolved.
Glacier.
Oh, sweet Lord above, your glacier evolved.
Wait. So Nick, spoiler alert: what happens when your finisher gets reversed on you?
The harassment line continues.
Do you realize?
Not really.
You know, I just thought of something. If Game of Thrones would have existed back in the days when they had the Glacier Mantis Wrath gimmick, WCW would have been in a much better place because they could have just used Game of Thrones instead of Mortal Kombat for everything.
I was about to say, yeah.
There would have been a lot more incest.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's the same thing like saying, damn, what was the vampire name in ECW?
Or Vampiro.
Vampiro.
No.
Vampira.
The WWE version of ECW. Was it Mordecai?
It was Mordecai, but it was a different name. Kevin Thorne.
Yes.
Kevin Thorne and Ariel.
Yes.
Oh, God. Oh, I remember that. Like, 5 minutes and it hurts.
I remember that he was
and it was like sci-fi. It's like, okay, we need sci-fi in your ECW show.
Yeah, and they got rid of him, but then like vampires took off with movies after that. I remember him giving an interview years later, like the WWE dropped the ball on him or something. I'm like, yeah, no, that wouldn't have worked. And before we forget, let's introduce Trent.
Trent.
Hey. My points are kind of moot. I haven't watched WWE or WWF in a while. My favorite wrestler is the Shockmaster.
Yes!
Woohoo!
For multiple reasons. But I'll be giggling in the background for most of the podcast.
There wasn't supposed to be a board there!
That video, you know, occasionally I'll have a sad day at work. Occasionally. And I'll grab myself some peanut butter, and I'll shove a spoon in, and then I'll watch the introduction of the Shockmaster. And my day magically becomes exponentially better. Rightfully, I should do that every day. I think every day would be much happier if I did that.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that and then watched Dustin Rhodes be introduced in WCW as the character Seven.
Oh, Seven.
Because he came to the ring and he's just like, this is the stupidest thing I have ever been forced to do in wrestling.
And you feel so bad for Dusty Rhodes because he's been doing it for such a long time. He's had to do so much crap.
To be fair, he's been he's done stupid stuff after that, too. Because he did,
They gave Dustin Rhodes the Black Rain gimmick eventually.
Yeah, was it Black Rain in TNA?
Black Rain.
Yeah,
that was awful.
Was that the one he carried around the mouse? The pet rat?
I don't remember. I used to have to quit.
It says a lot when his most well-defined and best gimmick was Goldust.
Yep.
I like Goldust.
Mm-hmm. That's an awesome character.
Oh, yeah. But I think of almost any other person's resume, that would be like, that. Oh, yeah, that was just a thing I did. But with him, it's like, it's his name.
Yeah.
The Goldust and Booker T tag team era.
That was golden. No pun intended. But yeah, when he executed himself and he had Tourette, you get it, but...
Well, that's how you get Tourette's, from electrocution. Just like you get multiple personality disorder by being hit on the head by bowling balls.
Wait.
I've learned all my medical knowledge from the Flintstones.
Wait. If you get Tourette's from being electrocuted, does that mean Shane McMahon's balls have Tourette's?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The idea of testicles having Tourette's is probably the most fantastic thing ever.
I always see people who have bad days. Someone I know will end up sending somebody Goldust with Tourette's. Just send that to anybody. Day instantly improved. It's that Shockmaster tripping over a board, which actually, if you know the story of it, makes it funnier. Because when you hear the story of them, like, well, we practiced that spot, and it's going great, and it looked excellent, and then someone put a board there.
I just love it, because afterwards, I mean, like, the helmet falls
the
off.
Helmet? It was a sparkly stormtrooper helmet.
Okay. I know it's hard to take it seriously in the first place, but I guarantee you the producers of the show were standing right next to the cameraman, and as soon as he went down, they're like, shut it down, shut it down.
No! Oh, they kept going. Why?
It's before its time, but they should have done a Simpsons to be like, ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of dog racing. Which is my favorite quote to say out of context whenever anything bad happens.
It's always more like when you have Ole Anderson doing his best to kind of sound, going, I'm the Shock Master.
No. Stop. Just stop.
I've seen this a lot myself. I can almost near state the speech verbatim. It's like, that speech. That whole thing. And then when you hear all the producers, like, just look up anything Shockmaster and try to find behind the scenes, as I put it, entertainment for hours, because they're like, we really thought this was going to be a winning character. Then just look up any matches of the Shockmaster after his tripping. Then it's like, are you going to trip again to the ring? No, I got distracted that time. This time I'm going to know what I'm doing, and I'm not going to trip. I'm like, oh, Fred, buddy, you tried. You so tried to make that work. You guys get 6 months out of it, so.
What can you do? At this point, I would say we should stay on topic, but WrestleMania is where you had that interest in, based on WWE's been showing us.
Or we can talk about the worst wrestlers of all time.
Or we could talk about the Macho Man.
Or we could talk about Naked Midian.
Explain some of the worst.
Why don't we all just do our own personal reenactment of the Macho Man Cream of the Crop?
No.
None of us want to try. It is hard to match.
That
instant.
Is what I send to people when I want to brighten their day up.
Because
like, nobody can watch that without going, oh, this is the best thing ever.
Macho Man is a mad genius of promo.
I do like the Macho Man quite a bit. I've always been a bigger fan of
promo.
Danger zone.
Yeah, because the danger zone is what, north of hell, south of the Pacific. He gives specific directions or something like that, but to kind of at least get on topic for a second, this weekend does mark the 29th. This weekend is the 29th WrestleMania. It's I don't even know if this has a tag on it, but it's once in a lifetime too, because it's a twice in a lifetime.
Twice in a lifetime. This time it's
twice in a lifetime. Yeah.
And
WrestleMania 29, just fucking buy it.
You buy this. You know you want to. It has
that's
Rock.
That's much how you've been advertising it. I mean, Rock and
Cena. Even better. WrestleMania 29.
Leo and Jack Swagger.
WrestleMania 29. Undertaker's here. You're going to buy it, you nerds.
Yeah. There you go. There's your tagline. Send Nicholas money.
Well, okay, I would disagree with that just for a simple fact. And the take angle has actually been good and enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of out that's kind of been...
It was weird. Like, it's almost like if we can start playing around with this a little bit. It's like, one, watching Raw on Monday as they were building up to this was comical, because it's like, here's John Cena's introductory segment. They booed the hell out of that man. That wasn't like a 50-50 split, like, no. It was like 80-20, and
no,
that seemed
just... It wasn't even the split. It was the fact that
they...
They started saying boring during the promo.
They started boring, and then it was like, wow.
It was my favorite part of the show.
Glorious.
Because I actually didn't see it. I started watching Raw like 20 minutes in.
It's
the problem with Rock and Cena. It's been 2 years. It's been 2 years since this angle started. And in that 2 years, they have yet to find a reason for these two to fight. Last year, they kind of tried to force it with, oh, Rock's never here. But, you know, half the people on the roster's not there most of the time. You had Undertaker and Triple H in another marquee match. They fought once in the year prior. And that was against each other. And this year, it's...
At WrestleMania.
Yeah, this year there's no story. It's really John Cena saying, like, Rock bought a new title, I need that new title. Like, okay.
That's even before that, it was, I have to prove myself and redeem myself after the terrible year I've had, where I beat everybody except in three matches.
And losing to The Rock, and they have losing to The Rock cost his divorce. I'm like,
which is great, because it wasn't that he was, you know, fucking the porn star or like five other divas or something. No, it's because he lost one match.
Lost the steps to be...
Which is like, something they never mentioned the entire year.
You see what happened, Nick, is all of those divas were fucking him because he lost to The Rock and they felt sorry for him.
Oh, that must be it.
So The Rock did cause John Cena's divorce by getting John Cena a lot of backstage pussy.
Yes, that's very true.
But yeah, I mean, the whole angle is built up on this notion. Well, it's kind of contradictory to how WWE books. Usually WWE, you don't have a memory span beyond 3 months. So this whole angle is built up over the fact that Cena had a
You're
bad
being generous,
year.
Generous, by the way.
Because he didn't win the title, even though he won Money in the Bank. He had like 50 world title shots. He got John Laurinaitis fired. He beat up Brock Lesnar. And that's another thing. They show him Brock Lesnar like beating him up as this thing, and Cena beat him in the match. He's like, he was the quote unquote underdog for the Royal Rumble. That's what he said on Monday. He's like, nobody predicted me to win the Royal Rumble. Everybody predicted you to win the Royal Rumble.
We all knew you were going to win.
Especially when you wandered in at around number 25, and it's like, oh, really?
And he was like, la 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 la. La.
I feel like that's exactly the sound I heard when he was walking to the ring. It wasn't his theme song. It was just do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Going to the ring. Do-do-do-do-do. Going to win the Rumble.
That's what John Cena's head sounds like all the time.
And the other thing,
you know what I can hear out of this? John Cena heel turn. For the love of God, just turn the man heel. When he wins that title belt, if the plan ends up going through, he wins that title belt on Sunday, which seems all but certain at this point, that place is going to go nuclear. Not with cheering, but with booing. the most.
He already gets booed, and the thing is, people want to turn him heel so they have a reason to boo him, but they already boo him, and turning him heel is going to, I mean, just to kind of switch gears, it's going to end up being what, CM Punk right now can shoot a man in the middle of the ring, and people would still cheer.
They would cheer for him.
He could just show up and just straight up cold cock someone in the back of the head with a pistol and just execute them on live television, and people would be like, CM Punk, it's the best in the world! I would be too, but...
Dude, he was pouring the urn onto the Undertaker, beating the crap out of him, and he's cheering. I went, this man, yeah, screw it. He can do nothing. He can still get cheered. This is amazing. Do anything.
He could come to the ring, beat the shit out of an orphan, and then take a dump on the orphan's chest, and the crowd would go fucking wild.
You say that like it's not a regular thing.
Well, not for Cena.
Own channel,
dude. If in certain wrestling feds, that could possibly happen.
Panic.
See, what you're forgetting too is that also what would happen is that the child would then use its one wish, its make a wish. John Cena would come out and clean the shit off.
Oh my god!
It'd be the greatest day of the kid's life, and then CM Punk would then come out again, and Kali Ma, like in Temple of Doom, and pull the kid's heart out in front of him. Set it
on
fire.
Wow.
That
is the craziest freaking... God help me, some feds probably would listen to this and think, hey!
Big ups to Bolaram.
Uh-oh.
You could team CM Punk with Eugene. And it would get over.
Oh,
now,
God,
let's not say things we can't take back.
No, I think it would.
Can't take back.
And, I mean, just to kind of get back to kind of put the rust on that match, the other problem with the Cena and Rock match is the fact that Rock isn't around half the time. So they can't do anything.
No. He's busy making money.
The Rock just did 160-something million over the weekend for the G.I. Joe Retaliation. And
The Rock's busy out, you know, being a movie star and being the quote-unquote ambassador for the WWE with the WWE title, which he doesn't always take with him to interviews and doesn't talk about when he's on The Tonight Show. So that kind of eliminates the purpose of having him be the championship.
There should be a rule that if he shows up without the title, he loses it.
Yeah. Well, didn't there used to be a rule that was like there was the 30-day defense?
You had to defend it.
And they got rid of that.
I remember that rule.
Yeah, because I remember when Stephanie
that was the Hulk Hogan rule, basically.
Back in the day. She got called out on, you know, it's been more than 30 days. You haven't defended your women's title.
Yeah.
I think it was something like 4 months for her. But,
at least four.
It's just really, it's odd, and he comes around, and he doesn't have, again, they don't have any animosity, so he's basically like, oh, I bought my first car from a crackhead. Like, thank you? I don't know what this has to do with anything, but, thanks for the info.
The Grandpa Simpson promo.
So, yeah, that's the extent of Roxina 2. It's a match that's there, because
outside of a new title belt,
which they'd had for months. It should have been debuted by CM Punk of anybody.
Yes.
Because he would be the one who's, you know, his entire character would have been like, I'm the best in the world. I should have my own title belt.
Yeah.
And he had a reason to. He had that year, the Young Celebration. He should have debuted it then, but I guess they wanted.
But then, 10-1, they were like, it'll be more important if we debut it with The Rock. No, fuck The Rock.
And the problem with that is it got debuted, and then he didn't show up for another, 2 or 3 weeks?
Yep.
I think he's been champion. He's been on Raw 3 times. Yeah. So, yes, that's your main event, and I'm so excited I could pay to see this.
You sound excited. Your excitement's contagious.
Well, I mean, at least this one's getting... The other angle is that WWE finally decided to make a racist angle to a mainstream angle with Jack Swagger versus Alberto Del Rio.
Oh.
They have tried for 3 months to get Alberto Del Rio over as a face, and the most over thing about him is Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Yep. Everyone likes Ricardo. They love that dude. The audience is like cheering crazy when they see Ricardo come down to the ring.
Because he's awesome.
And everyone loves him. And it's funny how they were talking about, maybe we should get rid of him. I'm like, are you insane? He's the most over thing about Alberto.
But Del Rio kind of went through the WWE's face turn problem, where you make a heel a face and then you take away everything interesting about them so that they're safe.
And then,
so everybody can...
and then make him act like an asshole anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't think Del Rio has done a job of he hasn't been the typical. I mean,
he hasn't gone full Sheamus. He's gone partial Sheamus.
Yeah.
Never go full Sheamus.
We're calling it now.
He hasn't stolen somebody's car and taken it for a Mexican dinner and gotten it all over or anything like that.
He's gotten shit all over it. No, but he has gone back and beaten up someone who has nothing to do with anything. Like when he fought Cesaro, and he, like, you know, justifiably, Cesaro won the match because Del Rio got counted out due to Jack Swagger's interference. So rather than, I don't know, going after Swagger or something, he just jumps in the ring and beats the shit out of Cesaro some more. I'm not mad about this just because Cesaro is one of my favorite dudes currently, but...
And he's being wasted.
He's so awesome.
I was going to say, it's probably...
Poor Cesaro. I felt for that guy.
He has a major champ. He's had a major championship for what, 8 months now, and he's not on the card right now.
Yeah, fuck the WWE.
And he's jobbing. He's jobbing hard. It's like every week. Well, gonna get beat up. He's still U.S. champion. Yep.
That's the problem the WWE has, but I think we will get to that in a bit. But Del Rio and Swagger started off. It started off decently enough because they, you know, it's the Tea Party American versus a Mexican champion. But, you know, the angle falls apart once you started to think about it, especially when that's Jack Swagger, who you hadn't seen in like 4-6 months at that point, and he somehow became the number one contender. Then he got himself in trouble with that weed problem because everybody in WWE
Needs to smoke. And the DUI, and I am amazed that I think the only reason why Jack Swagger didn't get the your angle's over, go bye-bye thing is pretty much because they're like, crap, we're too deep into this freaking thing now.
Yeah, I'm assuming...
Not even because they were getting so much mainstream attention for it. Even if that wasn't true, they would have just probably shit-canned him already.
Yeah, it's like, I think... Because I actually have a thought behind this match of what's going to end up happening by the end of it. Like, a whole crazy elaborate thing. I've been thinking the past couple days of what I think is going to happen by the end of this.
I think it should be Del Rio squashing and Ziggy crashing in, but
yep.
Oh God, that would be so.
Yeah, weird. That's what I think. Yeah. It's gonna be Del Rio. It's gonna be either Del Rio or Swagger winning. Ziggler crashes in, wins match. Then before that, because it'll be Team Hell No versus Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston. That's Ziggler, Big E Langston winning the tag match. Then AJ winning the Divas match. Then
there's no Divas match for her.
I thought there was that. I thought they were supposed to do that.
Nope.
They were supposed to, but it's
not.
They never had it on the card. They just never went through it.
No. No, we have to have room to watch the Bella Twins.
It's
not even... That's the issue. I hope it's not like last year where they had like a 20-minute rock concert for The Rock and Cena with Machine Gun Kelly.
No, I hope it's not like last year with the racist granny drill squad.
That was
just P. Diddy performing instead of the Funkasaurus's mama.
And her bridge kill.
It's not as much of a role anymore. Funk is just kind of taken out with Tenzai. I am at the point where the guy who, like, Treach is going, yep, I'm under contract. I'm getting paid to look like an idiot. I don't care. I am enjoying this ride while it lasts. Like,
I'm sure there's a lot of people in the contract where I get paid to
make. I get paid to look like an idiot. I don't care. Like Chavo Guerrero, when he paid the deal with freaking Hornswoggle, he said, I don't care. I'm getting paid. I don't care. Did he pay for this stupidity? He probably has a really good contract out of this insanity, so he's just going, yep, by the end of this insanity, I'll be able to go back to Japan, so I'm good. I'll be Giant Bernard again before by the time this contract is over, back to New Japan. I'll be fine.
Yeah. But
I actually do think that Dolph Ziggler and Big E are going to get tag team championships, and Dolph's going to have the world heavyweight championship.
I don't see them winning the tag team titles if they're going through with him winning the world heavyweight title.
Well,
the
WWE, I agree.
They don't seem keen on mixed dual champions anymore.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't think it's going to happen. I think Team Hell No is going to retain, or Ziggler won't cash in. But I would rather see Ziggler cash in.
Yeah.
Yes.
And in fact, I think that's why Ziggler's going to cash in, is because they're going to lose tag match.
I actually would like to see Ziggler, Big E get the championship, and then Ziggler cash in, and then have a crazy mix, like basically Ziggler having a world championship and the tag championships. But
it's kind of a mix that, because I want Team Hell No to lose, because as much as I enjoy the team, I think Brian and Kane need to kind of go on to something else.
That's why I want them to lose.
Yeah, that angle has run its course.
I'm like,
and they've been teasing them breaking up for months now.
It's like they're about to have them like break up and then change their minds. It's like, well, they're back together.
Rory, what do you think? What do you think about Team Hell No?
It's one of those rare cases where I think the WWE gets an angle.
Just lift the microphone again.
And they don't want to end it, especially being that I don't think they know what to do with Brian or Kane.
With Daniel Bryan, you could let him fucking wrestle.
Let him be the best wrestler in the world that he is.
But he's too tiny for them.
He's pretty damn talented.
Didn't hear growling. Yeah, I'm not saying he isn't talented. It's just that they have an issue with smaller guys.
Oh, they do.
Unless it's Rey Mysterio, who is thankfully still injured.
He's falling apart, man.
Even when Rey was the champion, it was a crap time.
It was interesting. I saw, and also one of the greatest things I saw. I was at my comic store, and there was these two kids who were talking about who wrestlers they into. Like one girl said Chris Jericho. I went, cool. Another kid said Sin Cara. I went, there's a Sin Cara fan. There's a Sin Cara fan. And I was like, I'm thinking in my head, that is neat. Finally, Sin Cara has a fan. The WWE managed to get a fan for Sin Cara.
He was selling merchandise like crazy.
I know he does, because Sin Cara actually has a cool look. That mask is cool.
He just can't stay healthy.
The whole design is really neat.
When the person told you that Sin Cara was their favorite wrestler, did they then proceed to break their leg in three places just by walking?
He was like a 6-year-old kid.
So yes.
Question still stands.
No, but I'm like, no. But man, I was just like, wow, because the whole design of Sin Cara is so kid friendly and such
I
a cool
thing.
I kind of wish that like Sin Cara could stay healthy, because he could
actually
be a lot of fun.
He needs to learn how to speak English at some point.
Or they need to get him a manager.
Yes. That would be the other idea.
I have to say, managers with faces are always so difficult. I mean, it works sometimes. I mean, we had... Hogan had a manager at some point. Undertaker had... Undertaker needed somebody to speak. It was one of the funniest parts of Raw, seeing them build up Undertaker eviscerate CM Punk and Punk on the microphone. Like, I love Undertaker. He's one of my all-time favorite characters. But mic work is never his strong suit. His best mic work was probably when he was Biker Taker, just because he could say random stuff.
Even
this
that
was my yard.
It wasn't that great.
It wasn't that good, but it was his best work.
He could actually talk and normally rather than...
I would actually say Ministry of Darkness Taker, because all he had to do was talk like this. Higher power, Austin.
And that costume he had on for the Ministry of Darkness Dave was pretty sweet. That was actually one of his cool-looking costumes of that period. Just this crazy looking outfit he came down to the ring in. It's like, damn, he looks like the head of a crazy ministry initially, until they found out the higher powers in McMahon, but
yeah. the Vince Russo era when you start an angle and have no idea how to finish it.
Vince McMahon! Okay.
I mean, granted, I don't think that, you know, that hasn't changed much with him being gone from the company for decades. But, yeah.
It's going to be the weirdest match for anyone to deal with. It's going to be the Brock Lesnar Triple H, and now with Shawn Michaels in Triple H's corner.
I think what you mean, Wesley, is going to be the hardest match for anyone to give a flying fuck about.
No one really gives a shit about this match.
Don't you care about a guy who wrestled twice, who has wrestled three times in the past 2 years, but in his career on the line? You know what we're going to
care
out on?
Stupid match.
If anything, that's going to be the hardest match for me to go downstairs and make coffee. Because it's going to be hard to make coffee. There's a machine, and like you have to put stuff in it. That's really hard. That's it. Screw that match.
It's a shame because I like Brock Lesnar. I like to watch Brock Lesnar work. I mean, he is a really good guy.
I always thought he seemed like an ass.
Oh no, he's an ass, but he's in the ring.
He's a gigantic dick. That's what's crazy.
He's a jerk, but he felt like a tank.
He's that dude that I would want to get run over.
I would like to see Brock Lesnar ascend to the seventh level and become the Dark Phoenix that we all know he is.
I forgot who said it. Brock Lesnar is like a guy who knows he's an asshole and he embraces it.
Yep.
And it always works for his character. He's a giant asshole.
That's not a good thing.
In terms of character in the wrestling ring, that is a good thing.
It is, sadly. In wrestling terms, when they know they're assholes, it actually...
That's why CM Punk is as good as he is, because his character is an asshole and he fully embraces it.
Yeah. You have to be your character, and Brock Lesnar in real life looks like he would be a giant asshole.
And conversely, that's why Triple H doesn't work, because Triple H is a giant asshole, but he wants everyone to treat him like he's the greatest thing ever. Like, he's the dude who he's just leaving the ring and then, you know, just decides to stand up to the Intercontinental Champion, Wade Barrett. Just be like, "What's up, bro?" And then you're talking jive, and he just out of nowhere just hits him in the balls. He's supposed to be a good guy who just hits people in the balls for no reason.
Because he's the ass badass.
Yeah, he's an ass.
Poor Wade Barrett. I did not watch that, but I heard about it later, and I went, "Oh, wait, that."
Well, I mean, it's not sadly enough. It's not the first time Triple H once buried the entire tag team division.
Yeah, that was pretty glorious. I'm like, really, Triple H, quit that.
Just because he was bored one day, Vince, you know, it'd be a great idea. Let me go out there and beat up the entire tag team division. I think there was one segment. I think it was the same segment, or it was the same time period where I think the Brian Kendricks and Paul London came out to help him. And after helping him, he decides to pedigree them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, because. Kendrick and London had such a shit time. Like, I loved them as a tag team. They worked well together, and they were doing that hooligan thing, and they had the masks, and like, it could have been really cool. And then apparently somebody pulled them aside, and they're like, "Yeah, those masks are really weird, and we don't think you should do that anymore." And they're like, "Okay, but it gets good reaction." "Yeah, it's weird."
Yeah.
It's like, we don't have defined characters otherwise, other mm-hmm. than we have nice hair. I don't know. They did have nice hair. So does Justin Gabriel.
And he has no job either. Speaking of, find a gig I enjoy him in. That guy who randomly shows up so people can beat him up in backstage segments is an amazing role.
That is guy. Alex Riley's part time in WWE now. It's just going to be say a jerky day, Riley. Boom! Get knocked out.
It's called the Alex Riley role.
And Zach,
you know what would be awesome?
And then Zack Ryder's role is now the guy who once had a successful web show. Now no one really gives a crap about him anymore. Though he does he has like a 3 million Twitter followers, so.
He's admitted he needs to kill that Long Island Iced Tea character. He's basically said it needs to be done.
He needs to be burned, like, done, go away, because that poor man needs a heel turn or anything.
That's the thing that's always bothered me about that character, is that on paper, his character works so much better as a heel, but they've always had him as a face.
I feel like the problem with Zack Ryder was he got mixed in with that bullshit Eve and John Cena stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorite Nerds
on the Rocks like opening things ever when I said, like, and there goes your push. That's like, yep, that wheel, you getting pushed over that ramp on the wheelchair, yep.
It's the opposite of the Hulk Hogan curse, because I was watching a old, not even Monday Night Raw, what was it, Primetime Challenge, and Hogan introduced like Tugboat as his best friend or something like that. And back in the days, like Hogan said, you were his best friend and got you all. You were instantly a face. John Cena introduces you as his friend, and your career is over. Evan Bourne, Zack Ryder, who else has he introduced as his friend?
Well, Tugboat actually managed to salvage himself for Typhoon, and actually managed to get a decent tag team run with Earthquake. So,
yeah, but I mean, that initial thing with Hogan was what you know
that hurt him. No,
it didn't hurt him. Like you,
it hurt him eventually, like a little bit down the road when he tried to be Tugboat again. Yeah. And it got weird.
But you team up with Hogan, you feud with Hogan, you're instantly over. Cena's the opposite. Cena has the I don't know if like Roddy Piper always used to say that he never would lay down for Hogan because the moment you lay down for Hogan, they no longer need you in the company.
Roddy Piper would never. And by the way, Hogan's best friend Tugboat eventually became the Shockmaster. Full circle.
But Cena and I would say Triple H to a degree are the opposite. It's like, I mean, it's the same thing. Once you lay down for Triple H or Cena, you're no longer needed in the main event scene. Like so many people
Goldberg?
Have kind of, I mean, Goldberg, Ouch. Scott Steiner, Booker T. There was a lot of people during that early 2000 era that would feud with Triple H. You'd beat them, and you'd never see them in the main event scene again until they went over to like SmackDown and kind of had room away from him. And Cena's kind of the same way. And this is why I've had this discussion because a lot of people want Cena to turn heel. And I'm thinking, like, right now, who would be the number one face in the company? Because they haven't developed a face since Cena's been the top dog because they've always had Cena. Like, it was Punk for a while, and then he became the number one heel. Orton, they don't trust because he keeps on getting himself in trouble.
And
Sheamus has no character. They've tried with Del Rio. Daniel Bryan, I don't think they have enough confidence in at his size.
No, I feel like Bryan works better as a tweener anyway.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think Daniel Bryan would work better in the character they keep on trying to build for Cena because Daniel Bryan, to me, is like the guy who could be the ultimate underdog, but at the same time can kick your ass in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
They keep this was during Cena's promo yesterday, and Cena's talking about being the ultimate. I'm like, you're not an underdog. You're a 10-time world champion. You've won 2 Royal Rumbles.
You're far from an underdog at this point in your career, man.
Money in
oh,
the
God.
Bank.
The great promo that Punk cut on him. When during their initial feud over the title was something about you are not an underdog.
You're not the New York Yankees. No, you're not the Boston. You're not like the Chicago White Sox. You're the New York Yankees. You're the dynasty. You're the franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, you are not the underdog. You are the Yankees.
Well, it's because he said it in the promo was done in Boston, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cena was trying to pull it out like I'm in my hometown, the Boston Red Sox. Park the car in the yard. Racism. I don't know racist things that people say in Boston. I'm assuming they say a lot of it because Boston is racist. But
it's a wicked pissa.
That's why it was such a big like F you when he was like, yeah, you're not the Red Sox, you're the Yankees, dick.
And the WWE keeps on trying to blow him up as this ultimate underdog. Can Cena overcome the odds? And at this point, he has no odds left.
You're a 10-time. You cannot say the underdog anymore when you're like a 10-time world champion. You're, yeah.
10-time world champion who won the Money in the Bank briefcase and won the Royal Rumble in the same year.
Yes. and he's the underdog, and we're supposed to buy that he's this underdog, that his character is to overcome the odds. What odds have you faced in the last 10 years?
Well, you know, he cashed in money in the bank and didn't win.
Because The Rock and his wife divorced him, and who knows what other reasons.
And he wasn't in G.I. Joe, and he had this thing in his eye.
Well, he was in the Marine.
Yeah, the first one.
The first one. So technically he was in a movie that, you know, could have led to him possibly getting a G.I. Joe gig, but no.
No.
Because no one appreciated his nuanced and deep performance in the Marine.
All that led to was him adopting a bunch of military shit and using that terrible, terrible excuse for a salute every time he comes out.
See, I think there's an important point here. Like, a lot of people tend to look on professional wrestling as a form of very action-based acting. And I suppose there is some argument and where all these people have so much training in terms of framing how to attack each other and whatnot. I mean, obviously there's a spectacle to the event side of things, but the Rock was actually in an interview recently, and he was stating, like, I got a taste of the acting bug when I did Scorpion King 12 years ago now. It's a long fucking time.
But he did Returns before that.
Well, yeah, but he was in that for like 5 seconds.
No, but what I said...
Yeah, and I forgot that there was CGI Rock.
But what he then went on to say is, I didn't start becoming a decent actor until much, much later. I mean, he's been acting for how many years, and he's done 22 movies now?
Has he really?
Yeah, he's done a lot of movies.
He's done a lot of movies, and he has gotten better, but that's the weirdest thing. Like, everyone assumes that these wrestlers are going to be really good on screen because they're able to play it up so well in the ring. And the truth is, a lot of them suck. And John Cena sucks more than most.
Yeah.
That needs to go on a new shirt. John Cena. Hustle, loyalty. Sucks more than most.
Sucks more than most.
But it's going to be interesting to see because now it's like, say, another wrestler's now got a big role coming up with Dave Bautista being Drax the freaking Destroyer in Guardians of the Galaxy. And
right. And
that's going to be interesting to watch. Because, like, people are going to be looking at him going, can you really? And I'm going, Drax doesn't require much from Dave Bautista. Dave Bautista looks like Drax the Destroyer for one thing. He has that look. So that's one thing you got going for him. The other thing is, Drax, if anyone who's ever read Drax the Destroyer in the comics, Bautista's going to be fine. There's only so much he could do. It's like he can do the screw it up. It's Drax the Tank. There you go.
My favorite bit of Dave Bautista's acting was the bit backstage where he was like warming up for a match and then the fan randomly ran onto camera.
Oh, I remember that.
And Bautista could not keep a straight face.
Bautista actually got really fun near like just about the last bit or so of his career. Yeah. He got actually really fun.
Bautista, as people nickname him, was an awesome character.
But you know, we've only talked about like the bang matches, the WrestleManias thus far.
Well, you talked about one match, so
we talked about one match. Talked a little bit of the CM Punk Undertaker match, which
we haven't. We haven't talked about Taker Punk other than. Well, we have.
We
I
talked
guess,
a little bit know. About it. Taker Punk is.
Taker Punk is probably going to be the best match on the card. It's probably going to be awesome. I think there's a very, very slim chance CM Punk wins.
I don't think he's going to win.
I think there was a chance before they started dragging all the Paul Bearer stuff into it.
Yes.
Now it's like Taker has to
now
win.
Now it's become a thing. Yeah.
Well,
I think, and it's kind of, I don't want to say it's funny because, you know, the events around it were tragic. But honestly, this angle, they upped into it because Paul Bearer died. Because before then, and you know, the guy who came up with this ended up getting cancer. But there really was no reason for this angle.
No.
Punk won a fatal four-way match to face The Undertaker because Undertaker can just come back and say, I want WrestleMania match. And people are begging to have that match. But yeah, since then, this angle has been the most compelling thing going into WrestleMania. And I think the WWE agrees because it ended this week's Raw and it has ended most of the Raws since it started.
Oh my god,
the
end of this, what?
They leaked there's been a leaked WrestleMania, like, script or something that says, like, time allotment per match. Rock and Cena and Triple H, Brock Lesnar, are both allotted for more time than CM Punk, Undertaker, and apparently that's going to be going on in the middle of the show.
Of course.
I mean,
good lord, the audience is going to be like, you have CM Punk versus Undertaker. The audience is pretty much, it's only one of the things, though, by the time that's over, the audience will be like, oh, well, all right.
Well, when that's over, that's when we're getting the 8-person tag.
That's how they do it. Because even last year, Triple H and Undertaker was, I mean, and I think, you know, at some point you would think they were in their essence, because I remember Triple H joking about this, and I know he wasn't joking, but WrestleMania 25 was Undertaker and Shawn Michaels in the middle of the card, and after that, nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
It was like, the audience was completely drained for the rest of the night, and there was no way that anybody else was going to top that, and Triple H and Randy Orton didn't help themselves, and they went out there and had a stink of a match. So yeah, I mean, it makes sense to put it on there early, to kind of, you know, to give them time, and it's really, you know, you have buffers between that and the main event. Because I think it's kind of sad, it's kind of funny though, because, and you know, I guess we can talk about Triple H and Brock. Uh-huh. It's that the reason that, and this has happened in the last 3 years, the reason that Triple H feuds at WrestleMania even get anywhere close to compelling is because they drag up HBK every year, and HBK tends to be the best part of this angle. In terms of relevance, the best parts of this promo have been Paul Heyman, Shawn Michaels' promo, Brock Lesnar's facial expression. Because Brock Lesnar's not your typical monster heel. He's not one of those, he's not angry and gruff. Brock Lesnar smiles the entire time.
That's great. He's a smile.
It's awesome. He's just a dick.
He's like, I can break your arm and I'm happy with that. I don't need to be angry. I'm not upset about anything. I'm just a monster. And he knows it. And then you have Triple H's badass promo somewhere at the end of that. I would even put Vince McMahon walking up into the ring above of Triple H's promo. But yeah, Shawn Michaels came out this week, and, you know, like, he added some relevancy to Triple H's retirement clause, because he's like, you know, it's not the same thing I went through, because when I did it, Undertaker has respect for, and he's right, Undertaker hasn't come out, I retired Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania, he hasn't said anything of the sort. Where Brock would look like the type of guy, like, yeah, I retired Triple H because that guy's a pussy.
It's not really.
Dude, that would be hilarious.
But really, how much of a retirement is it? He's just going to go back to being the, oh my god, head of the entire company.
Yeah, that's it.
But we've talked before about the corporate structure of the WWE and how it's like he's the head of the company, but somehow AJ is his boss. I don't know. He takes orders from Hornswoggle.
Only if he's hiding under the ring with a laptop, though.
Yeah. Hornswoggle,
oh,
are you the anonymous general manager?
Oh, I hate that was how they resolved.
Yeah, that was horrible. It's like dropped angle. Why do we do it? Yeah, Hornswoggle, screw it. And it was all done like Hornswoggle.
At least it wasn't the ghost of Owen Hart.
But, I don't expect a match. Triple H and Brock Lesnar have a very, I guess, they have similar styles. They're kind of ground-and-pound type dudes. When Brock does it, it looks good. When Triple H does it, Triple H has always had, I mean, he's a decent enough wrestler. He's just had an odd offensive moveset. Like, his moveset is more for a technical wrestler, but he's always had this brawler mentality.
Mm-hmm. Well, because the technical wrestlers haven't tended to get the ring time that the brawlers had, because it's what Vince McMahon thinks people want to see, and they don't want to see, according to him, Daniel Bryan, like, putting a submission hold on you from any position in the ring, ever. Like, he is under the ring, and somehow he has made you tap out. No, people want to see, like, the Austins and you know, The Rock, who is not a technical wrestler. They want to see the punching and the kicking and shink move.
Which is
that's one thing I actually do miss a lot from from like the at one point in time was like when WCW and other feds were around, which they actually had that whole like the people of being able to do like the submission room moved anywhere or being able to play around with different styles of what's more popular than the other and actually giving time for all those different styles. But
well,
now
I think,
a weirder situation.
I was about to say, the WWE still believes in that, but it's kind of like, they have the WCW era mentality. It's like the main angle is the only thing they concern themselves with, but they'll give other people time. They just won't push them. It's kind of like a constantly suffering mixture of wrestlers who face each other in these.
You have
Daniel
3 hours.
It's like everyone, I was reading all over the place leading up to WrestleMania. They had the top matches decided. And then the mid-card matches apparently were changing weekly. Like, that's why it took so long to get, there's been no build-up to Fandango versus Jericho. There was no tag team match build-up. There was really nothing for the eight-man tag. The Intercontinental title match build-up was just bullshit. Ryback versus Mark Henry, they, started and then stopped and then started again.
Yeah, it's like they...
To be fair... You were going to feel like the build-up to the IC title was bullshit anyway because The Miz was involved.
Well, yeah.
Well, but that's the thing. It's like originally, and this is the other aspect of that, is a lot of their angles were kind of, because for a while he was feuding with Cesaro.
Yeah.
And I thought that's what they were going for Mania, and then that dropped.
Well, it's something that doesn't make sense is that, okay, he's going to feud with the United States champion and fail at it, lose every title match, and then, oh, we'll just give him the Intercontinental. He's failing upward.
Wow.
I mean,
so he's going to lose to that, and then suddenly he's going to be feuding with John Cena for the WWE title again.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
I was going to say, it's a little of both, because, to think about it, Miz main evented WrestleMania 2 years ago, and now it's not even the opening match. He's the match you see before the pay-per-view starts.
And who was in his corner? Is it
Alex Riley.
But yeah, I was gonna say, and he was on commentary this week during Cesaro, Wade Barrett and Wade Barrett and Dario? No,
it wasn't.
Whatever.
Zack Ryder.
Whoever
he
fought, he was like,
awesome.
Oh yeah, I'm making progress. I'm like, no, you're falling backwards. Made the event of WrestleMania 2 years ago. Now I have an IC title shot in the pre-show. I'm feeling great for my career. I'm like, that's a huge drop.
And of course, I love how he says, well, I've got the skull-crushing finale, and I've got my figure four leg lock. I'm like, that your figure four leg lock that you've only, I think you've gotten on good twice?
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe?
Like I said, somebody said it in the With Leather comments, and I agree with it, that somehow he's going to lose by putting the figure four leg lock on himself.
That would be hilarious.
Miz is tapping out to himself.
But yeah, I mean, and what else? We mentioned this on the show. I think we mentioned this around the Royal Rumble, actually, is that they had the perfect angle to do AJ versus Kaitlyn.
It would have been awesome.
They started that like 2 weeks ago, and then they dropped it. I mean, it could be added again. This is Wednesday as we're recording and whatever, but...
It'll be that last-minute ad where they'll be like, oh, we need to fill some time, and then they'll cut something instead. Because he needs his time.
I could see them adding, like, a U.S. title Battle Royale match or something. Like
something
that.
Weird to give everyone a WrestleMania payday.
Yeah, everybody on the card. Fandango and Jericho is another one that... I'm sure it'll be a good match, but the angle's so odd because there was no real animosity, and then it just kind of happened, and they have a WrestleMania match.
So it was kind of comical to see Fandango.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
And doing his whole ranking of Jericho's match is like 4.
Oh god, that was so great.
3-1. I'm like, that was good. I'm like,
That character could have been awful, but just the little things like when Jericho got beaten and Fandango and his dancer just came out and danced around Jericho.
Yeah.
I give the guy credit. I imagine he thought in his head, what? You know what? And Johnny Curtis, he's looking at his hair going, how am I going to make this? I got an idea.
Yeah, McMahon's apparently super high on the character. Like, he wants to push him to the moon.
I just think Fandango.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Fandango to the moon versus Jack Swagger of Mars.
Oh, my God. But they've had such a small time to get this angle over, and it's been kind of a shitty build-up. But it's still, like, I'm so invested in this because I love the way he's portrayed the character. It's great. Just the whole refusing to wrestle because they're not saying his name right, and then, like, getting pissed at Jericho because he refuses to say his name right.
Well, it's funny that the story...
And he's kind of a dick, too.
So I like Jericho's story behind how he's like, well, I was supposed to turn heel and face Ryback. Then they changed their minds, so they now have me facing Fandango, and so it's like, he's like, I don't care, as long as I get to put some new star over or get something done with somebody, I don't give a crap.
And see, I'm okay with that, because the Henry Ryback match, really high on.
That's going to be hilarious.
I want to say one more point about this. I love the fact is that, I lost it, shit. No, I got it. Okay. No, it was the crowd was chanting, you can't wrestle at Fandango. And I'm like, no, he can. He just won't. You should be chanting, he won't wrestle.
He won't wrestle. He won't wrestle.
He won't wrestle.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. It's like, this is like as yes, Jericho, when Jericho used to come out and he'd say, yeah, woo!
Oh, yeah.
And then he'll gee. And this is the same thing. Like, he had that huge elaborate entrance where he did the whole dance routine and he does the strut and he has the fireworks and everything. And then he decides not to wrestle. And that's what gets under people's skin. And that, you know, like, he's getting monster heat. Like, he's getting major heat. And that's what you want. Like, people saying, like, he can't, like, that's, it's not Xbox heat. It's not go away heat. It's like,
like, we want to see you wrestle so we can see you get your butt kicked.
Yeah. They want to see someone beat the crap out of him. And it's going to be even better when he wins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jericho's job is to make Fandango look good,
and Jericho can do that.
I mean, all Jericho really cares about at this point in his career is, I just want to make people look good. I want to have good matches and build up new people. I don't really care. I have other stuff going on. I'm good.
Yeah, and I love how he's not the guy who came back and he's like, okay, well, I want to be the main event and I want to go over all the time and I want all this time off to be with my band. It's like, I'm going to go do my band thing, and I will come in, and I will help put new guys over. And fuck you, Triple H, that's how it's done.
Jericho has no ego. I am almost convinced at this point in his career, he has no ego. He's never really seemed to have, like, especially when reading his books, and I'm like, this man seems like one of the coolest people, like, ever, and just having no ego. He's just like, yep.
I'm sure he has an ego. I think the difference is he's secure with his
yep. I'm happy.
Because I think what happens with a lot of people is they feel like if they are no longer in the spotlight that their legacy will be diminished, which is why you see people who way past their prime continue to fight. I mean, it's why Ric Flair survived for 100 years past his prime. Ric Flair should have retired somewhere in the 90s.
That makes me sad, though, considering what happened to him over the weekend.
Yeah.
That makes me... I feel for that guy. That man has had... So that's one thing about Ric Flair. He kept wanting to go. He kept wanting to do stuff, and he was trying to help his son get set up in the ring. And I was like, oh, oh, poor guy. Cause I remember seeing Reed Flair back in WCW when, as a kid, like hanging out with his dad at one point, and.
Yeah, I think he was during the angle and Flair was like the WCW commission.
Yeah, and I remember that, and I was like, oh. Yeah, and that's why I can't really give Ric Flair too much, because he's a guy who wants to keep going out there, who wants to keep going, and heck, he wanted to have a more physical role in a lot of things, but that's one of those things where the WWE's like, after Lawler, they're like, no.
No.
No. Like, when I saw Zeb Coulter in a match, I'm like, yeah, this is not happening, because... they're going to do something. I'm like, yeah, they did exactly what I figured. They were just going to do like a beat the crap out of a foreign object or whatever, because they're not like, because Dutch Mantel, he's still in good shape. He can still do matches, but they're sure as hell not going to let him wrestle because they're very scared. They're like, no, we're not going to have anyone else get injured. Like, or die on live TV.
Is that shape hair? because that's the shape he is.
But yeah, it's,
well, I mean, that's shaped like a tell. Is he not in like the bed? No, but he's but he can still do some stuff. He's not like exemplary. But he still can do some stuff. So it's not. But it's one of those things where, yeah, I mean, but even that, they're kind of like, yeah, he could probably be okay, and he's still relatively well-conditioned enough where he could still do stuff, but not carry on, like, a 50-minute broad, like, crazy match or 60-minute match, but at least do, like, a few minutes in the ring. But right now, they're not chancing anything.
He went to town on Del Rio.
Yeah, that was pretty glorious. I mean, Dutch Mantel, Zubkulter, got to play the crate, have to just go nuts as an old school manager, just beating the crap out of that dude.
Did you see? Did you see his back?
Glorious.
Did you see his back after that? They showed a picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He crutched shaped welts.
Ah.
He took some damage there. Del Rio took some. I was like, damn, Del Rio.
But if anybody was going to do it, it's Del Rio because, I mean, he is old school lucha. You don't sell, you take it like a man.
Probably one of the few people in there that can probably go, I can do it.
All right, speaking of don't selling, now you guys could freak out about Ryback versus Mark Henry.
Oh, Lord.
Or I crush all your dreams.
Hilarious. Who will sell? Who will not sell who?
I mean, I like the two guys in it. I think they have interesting characters, especially Mark Henry. He's a fantastic guy.
I want Henry to destroy him.
Oh,
in the words, in the words of Tom Nix, I want him to beast Ryback to the center of the earth.
This is going to be Ryback. This is a Ryback match through and through. Ryback hasn't won a major match on pay-per-view in 6 months. Ryback has never won a major match on pay-per-view.
Nope.
It's because he sucks.
I see this being a very simple match. I see it starting off with two tests of strength, one where Henry wins, one where Ryback wins. They're going to do that stupid kill sign challenge where one person tries to kill sign somebody, they don't move. The other person tries, they don't move. Then I see him kicking out a World's Strongest Sam. I see a cell shock, and that's the match. I don't see this going too long.
No.
From what I heard, they weren't impressed with the weekend belt.
Yeah, I was just going to say that apparently their matches this past weekend were very, very bad. I'm questioning whether Ryback can actually get Henry up into the shell shack because he had problems getting Tensai up before, and he's way less of a man.
Yeah, Ryback is one of those people who's kind of, what's the other, I forget who used to say, but the expression is built for show, not to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like they did the whole bench press challenge on SmackDown, and I forget who said it somewhere, but it says the reason that you can't have a bench press challenge between Ryback and Mark Henry is Mark Henry is actually strong. Like you've ever seen weightlifters? They look like Mark Henry. You ever seen, you know, bodybuilders who can't actually lift? They just look good. They look like Ryback.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Henry still actually has World's Strongest.
Yes, because he is made of black dwarf star material.
He's
literally made of dark matter.
You bump into him, it's like, ow.
A bad little element that won't give up.
That's awesome. Yeah, he would power a lot of starships.
And I just love that Mark Henry, because ever since he turned heel, it's gotten more fun. And then that, and it's like, well, you can't touch me till WrestleMania, so I'm just going to smile.
Oh, my God. When they were using, who was it who unfortunately got used as a weapon?
Santino.
The best.
Yeah, Santino. Best use of Santino ever.
Santino has a freaking, like, weapon. It's like, hang on. Back.
My favorite thing is, yeah, Ryback picks him up. He's like, are you okay? Are you okay? He's like, yeah. And he just tosses him at Mark Henry. Like, I'm going to make sure you're okay before I use you as a weapon again. Because all you're going to do is say no.
I love
throw him anyway?
Eat him.
Exactly.
Eat him.
So, yeah, I mean, it's better than usual. You can't touch me, so they usually beat up somebody else close by. And it's been an interesting angle. I mean, it's mostly been them staring at each other. But,
I don't hold hopes for this match. I sincerely want to see Henry destroy him because that's what he do.
Oh, I have his random shouting response.
Yeah, it's awesome. Henry is just all around. Like, since his character renaissance, since the Hall of Pain started, it's been amazing.
That and this has little to do with, actually it does, because it's the way that he's kind of been treating the second tier. And Kofi Kingston, when Kofi Kingston went for that egg flip, and he kicks him out of the ring.
Kicks him into the next level of the world.
Like a kick with Kofi. He kicks him halfway across the ring, and Kofi goes flying. And it says, then Santino tries to use the Cobra, and he's like, what the hell is this crap?
Like, so you saw the Cobra, he looks BAP! Like, if this was cartoon life, Santino would have been, like, up in the ceiling. Like, just little Santino Cobra just dangling off his hand, going, like, smacked into the top of the arena. Just, ow.
If this was a cartoon world, Kofi would have turned into an albino Dutch guy. That's right. Why? Mark Henry would have kicked him into a photo negative.
Oh god, that would have been hilarious. Like if the WWE could only be like the freaking All Star game, that would just everything would just be better. That'd just be the most glorious thing.
Speaking of the All-Star game, the Shield is taking on their third WWE Super Team with Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show.
And the Shield has to win.
The Shield, I think they have
If they lose, Shield's pretty much done.
No, I don't think they're done. I think the Shield has to win, though. I think they're going to win just because I don't think individually the win for the faces do anything for the company.
No.
I mean, granted, that hasn't stopped the WWE in the past, but they've actually done a really great job with the Shield. They have yet to lose a major match. They have beaten every team. They've won every match fairly so far, or within the confines of the rules. They haven't cheated. They don't use shortcuts or anything like that. They've always just been built up. And this is like classic tag team, which is how the tag team division should work, is that they are a unit. They are a team. So they work well together, where they are fighting random people who are put together, so they shouldn't be as well adjusted to working together, and that's usually what they take advantage of.
The only mistake they make with the Shield is letting anyone but Dean Ambrose have that mic.
Yes, because Dean, it's like, you have like Dean Ambrose, probably the best talker out of that entire crew, and it's like, no, you just let Dean talk. You just let him talk.
You have the best talker, you have CM Punk Lite, and you have Grrr.
it actually makes for a very well balanced team of three different styles complementing each other. Shockingly well.
Seth Rollins just kind of he has that voice and that look, but he looks kind of off balance.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of works for his promos. But yeah, I think they just need one mouthpiece. I think they're trying to make it so that everybody, you know, they're trying to do the opposite.
Like Dean Ambrose.
But the Nexus was just Wade Barrett friends.
Yeah, they're taking that. They're doing. Actually, it's a smart move. It's just the fact that the other two can't keep up with Ambrose in that regard. But it is the smart move to have them all talk, because it is them learning from the past mistakes of having a group where one guy is clearly better than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually funny because they're kind. I mean, this is going. I'm taking a way back machine here, but I actually oddly compare them enough to the free. It's like the good unit. Like they're the Freebirds. They're very much like they're a classic. They are that classic tag team unit of they all work very well together, and of course in that team it's like and they did the same thing with them. All the Freebirds at one point or another, they all talked. I mean, it's like Michael Pieste would talk, then freaking, and I'm taking the Wayback Machine, guys. So I'm no bones. I'm just going to the Wayback Machine, and Terry Bambi and Gordy would even talk, and then freaking.
Wow.
And then all those guys would all talk at least one point or another. And then Jimmy Jam Garvin would talk at one point. So all the Freebirds had a chance to talk at one point or another. Man, I took the Wayback Machine on that one, but I...
But, you know how the WWE is going to screw this over, though. They're going to have a 3-on-1 match at Extreme Rules with Cena, and Cena's going to...
Earl, no. No, Earl. No.
He's right.
I know, but I don't want Earl giving them ideas that I think they probably already have, and... That would make me sad.
See, my continued gripe of what will never happen, because it's impossible at this point, but they keep calling the Shield the Dogs of Justice. I want the Shield versus the Brood, so you have werewolves versus vampires.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Money match. Hello.
Speaking of, what happened to Christian?
He's still, I think he was injured, and now he's been sort of kind of like,
He came back, he was injured again,
and then he's kind of, and then he's just kind of like out of the way.
Take a paycheck.
Because I think it was after that whole when he had to make that appearance for TNA, and then they decided to give him a little bit of time off after, because they didn't want to have somebody who had just appeared on TNA television.
Yeah, they didn't want TNA to profit off of that.
No.
Or anything, as if that's a risk with TNA.
Easy TNA joke insert here. I mean, we keep
inserting things.
Insert anything TNA joke here.
I was going to say TNA, and that's pretty much the joke.
So
you don't have to insert one there.
I have a question.
Yes.
What?
Trent, are you still here?
I am.
Oh, wow, you haven't said anything in a while.
I know, it's eerie, isn't it?
He doesn't.
I forget what episode I was on that I was like that, where I was just like, I don't have anything to contribute to this conversation. If I say anything, I'll just make everybody mad. I'll just be like, the things you like are stupid.
I think TNA is stupid.
TNA is stupid.
I think everybody thinks TNA is stupid. Well, the thing with TNA is actually they have good ideas, is that they have that WCW mentality, which is so busy trying to get people over at Hogan and Sting, who should be playing that Jericho. Hogan can't even wrestle anymore, and he's involved in the main angle in the show.
Mm-hmm. He needs money.
He
needs money so badly.
Actually, Hogan lost a lot of money out of that, Linda Hogan, after his divorce to his ex-wife, and then the recent thing they did with the horrible Aces and Eights angle, which, by the way, yes, it's very bad when you try to watch it, but it's really funny to see when Bully Ray turned heel and that audience just freaking went nuclear booing. And I'm like, that was probably one of the best crowd reactions they've gotten in a while. Nicely done, TNA. You got a legit ticked off crowd on your hands.
I think they're pissed off that they saw a TNA show, and then they wrote that they saw a TNA show.
Yeah, it's almost like when you say it, you're like, I feel like I'm damning with faint praise more and more as I'm, like, there's parts that I kind of think, because I'd like to see TNA be better. It'd be nice to have a genuine competitive federation, but it's still.
I would rather see something like Ring of Honor or Chikara get big enough to challenge.
Yeah, because Chikara's fun. Chikara's a fun fed. I mean. And that'd be great to see Chikara get a good, like Ring of Honor is a, from Ring of Honor's getting strong, getting a little bit better on their general hour-long shows they've been doing week after week, but it's been very touch and go with them over the past bit or so, because it's like now they've got the hang of doing like weekly shows and figuring out how they want to pace their TV, their shows, but. It's like, I'd love to see, like, Chikara like, get that kind of deal. Like, heck, there when Ring of Honor was team with Chikara for those couple weeks there, that was fun. Because I got to see Chikara on my TV screen on a weekly basis. And that was really neat. And I'd love to see Chikara get that kind of deal that Ring of Honor has of, like, some network going, Chikara would be a good fit for our TV station. Let's put them on.
Said nobody ever.
I know.
I would. If I had a TV station, I'd put them on.
Give them an awesome.
They're super nerdy, fun wrestling.
Dude, they actually fit in perfectly with something. Like, heck, they'd be actually a pretty decent Saturday morning show if you really want to go that far. Just put them on for an hour Saturday morning, like some places put them like 11 o'clock to noon or something. Boom. Chikara's. Because they're a family-friendly fed, so... Wouldn't be a bad idea.
I guess
back to WrestleMania.
I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a good card. They're the good rushes. It's going to be good matches. It's just that there's been no real hype for this WrestleMania season. They've had one match that they've kind of built up over the past 2 years, and nobody gives a damn. But that's not true. WrestleMania 28 is one of the highest highest buy rates for WrestleMania. I think 24 still holds the record. Who knew Mayweather was such a draw?
Dang, he was. Holy crap.
But I think we talked... Oh, we haven't talked about... Oh, we haven't talked about the... Did we talk about a Tons of Fun and...
No, fuck that.
Oh, or Tons of Funk.
I can't even be excited about a Cody Rhodes Damian Sandow joint. Makes me so upset.
Seriously, this is disrespectful to Rhodes Scholars, and I am going to write a strongly worded letter in response.
Make sure you have the right calligraphy.
Strongly worded letter.
I just say
you are looking under the assumption that these people can read.
Vince McMahon can read, but all he reads are financial statements.
And fuck you. Oh, he has a Twitter now, and I know it's never going to happen, but I want to see the Vince McMahon cranky Vince confrontation on Twitter.
Oh my god, that'll be so great. Oh, now you're dashing my dreams, but no, letting me know it's never going to happen.
Right?
But, yeah, I like how, I think Brandon Schraud pointed this out, and I thought it was the cutest little thing, is that Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes are wearing each other's shirts.
Oh, that was great.
I ship it. I mean, what?
And they are best friends, and it makes sense. They support each other. They're not, like, best friends on TV. They seem like two people who enjoy each other's company and hang out. I mean, they're the Bella twins together. Well, you know what I mean.
Did you say the Bella tits?
Only one of them has that. And surprisingly enough, it's the one who's dating John Cena.
No, shock, right?
It's so easy to make wrestlers look gay.
I think the sport's kind of centered around it. But yeah, and I think the final match is... something I probably should know since I have the card in front of me and I lost it. Oh, Team Hell No versus Ziggy and Big E.
Yeah, we've actually gotten a little
bit. We talked about that already, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff there, and it could go either way. I mean, I'm still pushing for Ziggler and Big E winning the titles, and the crazy loopy situation of Ziggler then cashing in Money in the Bank, getting the championship, and I really wish they would actually put on the freaking Jake Caitlin match, and then I could have my Ziggler stable being the dominant force of the Wii for a little bit.
I was gonna say something, but they actually did that with Ziggler before. I was gonna say that he should hold it till Night of Champions and defend both of them. But he actually did that at Night of Champions, not last year, but the year before, mm-hmm. when he had to defend the U.S. title and he fought for the tag team title.
You know. Wes, I know you're really hyped on the idea of that stable having all of the titles.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one problem.
What?
That's never going to happen because Triple H isn't in that stable.
Never know. Triple H somehow finds his way into every major angle.
He does, actually. It's back in
Biggie Langston pulls off a mask and he's secretly Triple H.
That's going to be the big twist at the big WrestleMania moment. It's going to turn out that Triple H was all the wrestlers who won the title at this. He's just going to be covered in belts.
WrestleMania 30, Triple H and Cena in every match.
Lowest buy rate ever.
Suddenly, it's like everyone who bought WrestleMania suddenly figures out a way to go. How can we get refunds for buying a pay-per-view?
Well, looking up and down this card, I'm sure we can all agree that it will certainly be a WrestleMania.
Yep. And
good or bad, probably bad, it will certainly have people fighting in a ring that's not real fighting.
Well, I'm kind of curious now, since you mentioned it, like, what is your least favorite recent WrestleManias?
I don't remember them. They all just blur together into one mess. what the fuck?
That's kind of been the thing for the past 5 or 6 years. Outside of the Undertaker stuff with Shawn Michaels and Triple H to a lesser degree, they've all kind of been forgettable.
Hey.
And
of course, continue, Ashley.
The last one that really blew me away was WrestleMania 20, and now you can't talk about the end of that.
Yeah. I watched WrestleMania 28 this week, and I was so disappointed. Not disappointed, but the Jericho Punk match was handicapped by that stupid stipulation they added. Where, like, if Punk got disqualified or counted out, he'd use the title. So, like, the first 10 minutes of the match is really so with Jericho trying to goad him. And once they just say, you know, screw it, we're not going to bother with that stupid kid, it gets good. And I'm like, why did they put that on there then? It didn't serve any purpose. It didn't factor into the ending or anything like
because
that.
For some reason, they didn't think CM Punk versus Jericho alone could carry a match because they're idiots.
Which is, again, odd, because the next month, they did Jericho and Punk, and they gave them leeway. And the same thing with Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. They did that match the next month, and that was an actual match. And they were both great matches. And this is going to be the problem that WWE faces this year, and they faced the last couple of years after WrestleMania, is after WrestleMania, you use Taker, you use Triple H. I think Brock is around for next month. You use Rock.
Mm-hmm. No, Rock's around next month.
Yeah, rumor is Rock is back next month.
Yeah, he's advertised for the next pay-per-view.
So, okay, but you use them a month after that then, and then it's like, who have you put in that place? You haven't put in places for, like, Punk has been the only guy who's broken through the main event scene in the past 3 years.
What about Daniel Bryan?
They don't treat him as a main event.
Mm-hmm. They were at one point.
Even when he was his world champion,
he got victimized by all the part timers coming back. I think.
Yeah,
but even when he was champion, they treated him as a fluke champion who always got, and that was part of his. You know, that was part of him turning heel at the same time. And he had those phenomenal matches with CM Punk and Kane, and then he kind of became. And he's a good joke character. There are, you know, you can be a good joke character. There are people who have great comedic timing. Santino works that way as well. The thing with Santino is that they overexpose him sometimes.
Yeah.
And then there's people like Cena who doesn't do humor well, but they continue to force it down.
Yeah. Right? Cena and humor can be a dangerous thing.
And here's the problem with Cena and humor, just to kind of bring it back to what we started talking about at the start of the this podcast, is that Cena came out this week and he was kind of joking and he wasn't. I mean, The Rock. Rock Bottom dude asked you, you should be angry. There should be a fire in you. And he never finds that fire.
The audience hated him. The audience hated him hard.
Because it's like that Royal Rumble promo we talked about before Royal Rumble, where he comes out and it's like they give him a general direction and he just rambles.
There are people that you can do that with. Like when CM Punk really started to get people's attention was when they basically started telling him, just go and do whatever you're going to do. Because that's what happened with the Straight Edge Society, was they're like, okay, you know what, we're giving you a stable, pick your people, do what you're going to do. And then he was wrestling Jesus, which if you haven't seen his documentary, watch it just, even if it's just for the Straight Edge Society stuff, because he basically is like, yeah, I was supposed to be wrestling Jesus. Look at who I picked to be in my stable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, and it's the same thing, you know, going back to his worst year ever, last year, whatever, when he lost to The Rock, he didn't have time, and then he had that huge retirement, not retirement, but he was going away after he lost, when he beat Brock, and then he showed up the next night, and then he lost Money in the Bank, and he was still there, and then CM Punk beat him at Money in the Bank in 2011. He beat him at Raw 1000. He beat him at the SummerSlam. And CM Punk had to spend the entire fall proving to Cena that he deserved to be champion.
Ooh.
After beating him like 50 times.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get to say that? You're the challenger. He beat you. The rules of it, he didn't cheat in a triple threat match. The rules of the triple threat match are there. There are no rules.
Mm-hmm.
You do a move, he tossed you out the ring, he got the pinfall. That's the legitimate victory. But yeah, his character hasn't evolved, and I don't think it's going to evolve unless they really do something. He needs a break.
Yeah.
He needs an extended away from the WWE for a bit, come back, and he can't be the same character. He can't be the guy who comes out smiling and, like, I love the WWE fans, you know, they can boo, they can cheer. That stuff. Like, what they need to do, I think they should keep him face, but they need to introduce heel or tween elements. I think he needs to, like, say, like, you know, if you're not with me, F off or something.
Yeah.
I still say they missed their chance when he was feuding with Punk, and when you could have turned him heel in that sort of duty, duty, do, I'm just doing the right thing. Like, he sided with Vince McMahon, and he agreed to take down CM Punk and cheat because he was just trying to do the right thing for the company. He was trying to uphold the beliefs. And it's like, no, dude, you didn't. Like, mm-hmm. You are a huge pawn in this. And I feel like that's how you do John Cena as a heel. You can't have him be the mastermind behind him being a heel. Because he's John fucking Cena.
Yep, that's about right. They had their shot, and instead they just said, well, we're stuck.
No, they're not.
I think that's almost like it's something they could turn him heel, but it seems like they just can't figure out a way to do it. I'm going, just do it. Well,
There's a ton of way to turn him heel. I think my issue with him turning heel is that it doesn't necessarily change the character, because if they change what people hate about him, then people are going to start to like him because they change what they hated about him.
That would be hilarious, actually. Cena being the loved heel. Just suddenly he turns heel and everyone goes, yeah! The hell just happened here?
Yeah, it's the same thing with, like, Orton. Orton turned face because out of the stuff he did was very despicable, but people enjoyed it.
So it's okay.
Yeah.
That was
hilarious. It's like, Orton does something despicable. Yay! Orton does something really horrible. Yay!
Yeah, that's pretty, I mean,
as long as he hits the RKO and has voices as his theme music, everybody goes home happy.
Yep.
Yeah, I was about to say, cause at one point, Orton's other finisher was basically a concussion kick.
Yeah.
And people cheered for him to do that.
Which is why I want him to turn heel again, so he can start doing that to people.
I think he wants a heel turn. Like, I have.
Oh, no, they've been saying for months he's wanted it. And apparently he's been very vocal about it on Twitter, just straight up saying, yeah, I want to be heel again, guys. So I would not be surprised if that happens on Sunday.
Yeah,
I was going to say, they're going to lose to the Shield, and then he's going to turn.
The other rumor is that he's going to turn out to be, like, in charge of the Shield or something, which would be stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's one of those things. I think there are people who are naturally better gifted. CM Punk makes a much more interesting deal than he does with face. Well, I think he works either way, but... You know, like, when he was a face, you have to walk that company line, and you have to be a goody-goody-two-shoe. And it sometimes, you know, it doesn't fit with his personality. When he's screaming he's the best in the world, it works because he believes it. And, again, that's what makes him a compelling character. I think that's the other thing with Cena, is he doesn't have a character.
Mm-mm. Because Cena, what they were trying to do, when I remember... watching some of the bits and pieces when Cena was like a heel, and he was the whole master of thugonomics and all like hardcore rapper dude, and that was like the closing he ever had to like a kind of a weird like white gangster rapper sort of thing going on, and it's weird because and then have this like his character, and then as he got face. And then more face, and then holy crap face. It's like all his characters started fading off, and he just became like Super Cena underdog.
Rey Mysterio works as an underdog because almost everybody he fights is physically larger than him. Cena's a tank.
Mm-hmm.
Cena towers over most people. Cena has been thrown to death if, 500-600 pounds at a time. Physically speaking, there aren't many people in the company who can contest with him. Achievement-wise, there are few people who can contest with him in the history of wrestling. So, this fact that they continue to try to push him as this underdog, and again, it's stuck in my head because they're pushing him as this underdog against The Rock, because he lost this match to a part-timer a year ago. It's just insanity.
Yep.
And
they tried to figure out something. They were like, we need a reason.
That's the other thing. They kept on trying, because at first it was redemption versus greatness, and that went nowhere. And then we didn't mention this, and this was very confusing. It's like last week, Cena was like, The Rock didn't beat me, I beat myself. And so it's like, oh, it's not that The Rock, you know, it's The Rock's loss that set me into a tailspin. It's the fact that I got too cocky. And then again, it's like you had an entire year to tell this story and you never paid up to it. Like, Cena should have lost the entire 2012. Every match on pay-per-view. And then they come in and, you know, then you can talk about it at the start of 2013. And then he has, you know, then you can send him into the Royal Rumble as a guy who needs this win. Not a guy who has won everything in 2012. But I think we're done with WrestleMania. Is there anything you folks want to add before we wrap?
As usual, I will be on Twitter at SnarkingOut through the pay-per-view, typing in all caps. About stupid things, and referring to Brad Maddox as hot, whatever the fuck Brad Maddox is right now.
During the broadcast, usual, you can find me not on Twitter, scratching my bum, and probably eating Cheetos somewhere.
Woo!
I live an exciting life.
With Cheetos.
During the pay-per-view, you will find me in MetLife Stadium, way up there, I think, watching this event in person, my first ever WrestleMania. As bad as the card may seem on paper, I'm really excited to go. So,
it's the showcase of the immortals.
Are you sitting at a room?
I have no idea. My friends got all this stuff. I'm going to figure it out Sunday.
He's going to be sitting in a seat whose view is blocked directly by the Empire State Building.
That's your liberty.
Statue of Liberty.
They have a statue. I hope that doesn't fall.
Yeah, that was.
They have a statue.
That would.
Oh, the humanity.
Oh, I hope it falls, and I hope it falls when there is someone in the ring who will like fall to their knees and go, "You blew it all up."
Oh God.
During the pay-per-view, you will find me. I don't know, either on Twitter talking about how I'm definitely not watching WrestleMania illegally, or. On Twitter, talking about how I'm definitely not watching WrestleMania at all.
I don't have much else to add outside.
There will also be an hour where I disappear entirely because winter is coming.
Yeah.
Winter is coming.
It'll probably be the hour that Triple H is in the ring.
And the hour between Triple H's and Undertaker's entrances. But, yeah, we'll be back next week. I actually don't think we have a show for next week yet, so we'll figure that out.
It'll be a big show.
It'll be a...
Really?
Yes.
Bam.
It'll be amazing.
For Trent, Ashley, Wesley, Nicholas, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks, episode 129.
Yep.
Best in the world! Woohoo!
Yes.